together. Come on.
Every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter.
Partners. Good morning to our ADM partners. Good morning to our partners that are in the United States of America. We welcome you this morning, and we come welcoming you with our full armor of God on because we realize that we are in a war, and we are not giving Satan and his imp nothing. They cannot take anything from us because we are standing, and then we offer those the opportunity that's not prepared to go into battle for us to stand in the gap with you, knowing that we are one united force, that we come together to fight against all the diabolical spirits, Satan and his little imps that's coming to try to steal our families, that's coming to try to steal our joy, that's coming to try to steal our finances, our health, anything that Satan is trying to take away from you on today. Know that we are together as one unit going into war, marching together. So him and his imps will not be successful. It is a mind over matter, and I'm praying on today that you've made a conscious decision that Satan can't take anything from you because you have been given the weapons to fight against him, and that is putting on your full armor of God and using your sword. And how do you use your sword? You meditate on the words of God day and night. You meditate on them. And then what do we do next? We use them. We allow them. We put things into action. We come up with a strategic plan, and we put things into action. And then we use those words. We allow those words to come out of our mouth. We're speaking things into the atmosphere as if they already are happening right here and there. We're not grabbing in the future. We are speaking things as if they have taken place right now. So if there are certain words that we need to take out of our vocabulary, trying, we're not trying, it is so. We have to speak, our minds have to think as if things are they have already took place. So we need to leave those ing words out of our vocabulary and speak into the atmosphere, speak and command what we have, what we're going into battle for, what we want, how we want our day to be, how we want everything to be at all times, because we have the ability to do so. So I say again, this means war. Get ready for war. Get yourselves together. Get your house together. Put on your complete full armor of God. Make sure the person that's next to you, whatever, whomever, that they're prepared as well. And let's go into prayer this morning, knowing that God is able. He does whatever he says that he can do, and he does it exceedingly without any type of hesitation, as long as you are coming before him in obedience with a pure heart, humbled, and everything else. So, Father God, as we come to you this morning, Lord Jesus, we come to you, Father, with a mind, Lord Jesus, a mindset fixed, Father God, that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us, Father. We come to you, Father God, with not being afraid, Father God, but ready and prepared, Father God, for whatever obstacles, anything, whatever battles, Father God, that may come our way, Lord, because we know that you are with us and that you are our leader and you are our guide, because we've made a conscious decision, Father, to make you the head of our lives, our power source, Father God. And then, Lord, we know, Father, that you left us your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that is our power base, Father God. And we know, Father God, once we allow that Holy Spirit to be our guide, that we become vicious, Father God. We're vicious and victorious, Father God. We're conquerors, Father God, knowing, Lord Jesus, that you are the fact. The battle is not ours, it is yours. We are just there at that second line of force, and possibly like Jehoshaphat, we may not have to do anything, Father God. We will just sit there and praise your name, Lord, while you're doing everything else, Father God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of the things that you have given us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for closing up different nooks and crannies, Father God, that Satan and his diabolical imps cannot come in, Father God, and overtake us, Father God. We thank you, Father, for giving us the ability to stand through the storm, to stand through our health being attacked, to stand through our mental being attacked, knowing, Lord Jesus, that you are there, our safety net, and you will pull us out of whatever it is, as long as we're depending on you, as long as we're obedient to you, as long as, Father God, we're faithful to you, as long as we're loyal to you, as long as we're dedicated to you, Father God, and knowing that we can, in the name of Jesus, we can move mountains, we can rescue, and we can do anything, Father, in the name of Jesus. Anything that we ask for in the name of Jesus, we can conquer it, Father. So we just thank you on today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that we have the ability to step on the heads of scorpions, Father God. And Lord, if anything comes up against us, it's not going to prosper, Father God. It is not going to prosper. Any words that come up against us, they shall be condemned, Father God, because we are connected to you, Lord Jesus. We have a new mindset on today, Father God, and we command our atmosphere on today to be filled with love, to be filled with peace, to be filled with joy, Father God. No negative thinking, Father God, but positive vibes only, Father God. And everything, Lord Jesus, that we touch, Father God, on this day, Lord Jesus, we shall be prosperous, Father God. We shall succeed, Father God. Any news that we get, Father God, if it's bad, Father God, we're still going to sit, Father God, and trust and believe in you, Lord Jesus. We're still going to seek ye first the kingdom of God before we allow it to attack our mental, before we allow it to attack our mind, before we allow it to make us just sit down and give up, Father God. We are conquerors, and that is how we are moving on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. On this morning, we are coming out of the book of Isaiah 61, and it's the good news for the oppressed, and we will be picking out certain scriptures to go over with you to let you know what God had, the promises that God has, the things that God has promised us, a lot of, you know, for the things that we have had to go through. Or whatnot, just know the word of God says that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Although there are things that sins that we're constantly doing, things that we have just turned our back on God, we have just completely been disobedient to him. This is what happened in the old. We're still doing it today. But even though through our mess, when we decide to make a conscious decision and make a turn around, the word of God tells us what God has planned for us. It tells us that he has different things that he will do, and it's a certain time that these things will take place. Remember, everything about God is we can't beat his timing. We would never know his timing. We would never be able to compare his timing. But what we can do is put ourselves in a position where we are already in place for the things that God has for us, where we're already have made a change in our attitude, where we're already indulging into the kingdom economics, getting our house in order, getting ourselves in order, so we can receive the blessing, so we can walk into prosperity, so we can be successful as God has predestined us to be. So we're going to start with there, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the scriptures first, and then my sister Monica is going to come in. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God." Hallelujah. "You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. The Sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring, with plants springing up everywhere." That is Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. I turn it over to you, Monica.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. As one said, it said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Isaiah, and he gave him the anointed commission to bring the good news to the humble and the afflicted. And with that being said, we have to understand that he was able to tell everyone, the wounded of hearts, the brokenhearted, and the ones that were proclaimed to be released. And he was speaking of the ones that were going to be released from confinement, of a physical situation, and also condemnation of that sin or whatever thing that you are struggling in. And that good news was something that was a powerful reassurance, because we have a suffering and an awful way of handling these things. When we're brokenhearted, we mourn and we actually have a sorrow. But he answered that sorrow with that promise, with his word saying, that I will bind up the wounds of those brokenhearted. And then he said, I will proclaim the release of the confinement and the condemnation of the people that are sorrowing and have been bound up in a physical as spiritual captives. And as spiritual captives, it could be just a stronghold over your life. Whatever it is that you're going up against that you find it hard to overcome and you can't do it in your own strength, turn to God, because he's already promised that he would take you through it. He would deliver you from it. And this is his proof. This is the proof of that. He put it in writing through the prophet Isaiah. He let us see that whatever it is that we're coming up against, there's nothing he can't handle. There's nothing he won't deliver us from, because he loves us. He protects us. He provides for us. And because we are his people, we are his own, that's exactly what he said he would do. And he is doing it. He's doing it daily. Think back on all the things that you've been through that was a struggle, whether it was a battle with a disease or a situation in your life that had to be spiritual, where you couldn't even overcome maybe an addiction or maybe a mental illness or maybe some sort of poverty situation where your finances could never come together and you just kept falling behind and God came through for you. Remember those days. This is what this verse is speaking of, when you were set free from that physical and that spiritual captivity. And the freedom it speaks of to the prisoners, it was that literally that freedom from being the slave of the enemy of sin, the slave of Satan, when he allows us to fall into certain places that we were weak in, and he's been taking advantage of us in those weaknesses because he knows what our vices are. With that being said, just know and understand that God said that he would replace those things with something better. He would repair, he would give us a better condition no matter what the condition is, and that is an awesome thing. Sister, I turn it over to you for the next verse that lightened up your eyes, that really spoke to your spirit.
And he has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. I want to make sure that we understand this. Who this scripture is talking to, he's talking to the believers. He's talking to those that were obedient to God during, because favor is now. See, God's wrath, the wrath is what, when he's talking about the enemies, he's talking about when God comes to deal with them. But while we're sitting, while we're here now, we're going through these different things. We're going through whatever. God is protecting us. He's constantly giving us time after time to get things right. But those that, even though people are still doing things against you, people are saying things against you, you're turning the other cheek. You're still moving forward. You're not allowing those different things to bother you. Because when the day of God's wrath, when his wrath comes forth, they're not going to be able to sit and say nothing. God is going to, he say, touch not my anointed. God is going to remind those people when God's wrath comes, people are not going to be able to deal with what he has. And the reason I say that is because he does love us unconditionally. He gives us time after time to get it right. It's no reason that we should be non-believers. It's no reason that we should not know that Jesus is the reason for everything. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the light. So all of us, all of those who persecute the Christians, who persecute those who believe in Jesus, that God has a wrath that he is going to bring forth to them. And then verse 3 says, to all who mourn in Israel, he would give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. But every hurt, every pain, everything that you have been through, all forms of persecution, the word of God says we are to take up our cross daily. The word of God says that just as Jesus was persecuted, we should be persecuted. In that special timing, God is going to turn that in those beauty. Whatever, he's going to turn your ashes. He's going to give you beauty. But every hurt, every pain, every time you was whipped in your back, you took your all the wounds that you have, every tear that has been stored up, you will be given beauty for ashes. And this is for the righteousness. Let's get it. Let's understand this. This is for the righteousness. This is for the people that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. It says in their righteousness. That means that you are obeying God. That means that you are in God's will. That means that you are not wavering. You are in the center. You are in the bull's eye, right there in the middle of where God wants you to be. When you are planted in the middle and you do not go out of the will, then you know that you are in a safe place. You know that you are in a place that you will not be bothered. It also says that they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Those trees are planted. They are moving. They're not bothered about anything that's going on. They are sitting there. They're standing through the weather beating on them. They're standing through the hot, scorching sun burning them up. They're not bothered because they are planted there for God's glory. They are standing for whatever it is, that's the persecution, whatever it is, the hot, golden sun, the rain, the sleet, the snow. They are not bothered because they are living righteously. They are in the bull's eye. God is their everything. They don't have to worry. They don't have to fight no battles. They don't have to worry. Even though the persecution is there, they're still not bothered because they're where they're supposed to be. Turning it over to you, sister.
Okay, and then I'm coming on verse 8. And down on verse 8 it says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them." Now that in itself, that is another promise, and he's given an understanding to his people because he wants us to have an excellent mindset on what he was wanting for us and what he's going to deliver for us. But you have to realize that these things are not just because, but they are conditional. They are conditional because we have that covenant that is spoke of at the end of this verse. But before I go into that covenant, I want to explain to you how he said he hates robbery. He hates wrongdoing. He will faithfully reward his people for their suffering. See, those two things that he wanted you to understand, he wanted you to feel where he was coming from. Because as a father, when he speaks to his children, he wants the child to understand the mindset of what's going on in his house and what will be accepted and what won't be accepted. So he says he hates robbery, where people have taken from us. Because as a people, we're his children, and you don't mess with God's children. You don't mess with God's children. As far as robbing them and taking things from them and doing them wrong, he doesn't approve of that. He doesn't approve of us doing it to them, and they're definitely not going to do it to us. So he says that he loves justice. And because he loves justice, you know that you don't have to try to get revenge on someone that has treated you unjustly. You can know that God is going to deal with them and that you can rightfully stand with your head up high and walk into whatever destiny God has for you without having to be focused on trying to get revenge on this person or that person or have any kind of enemies or revenge set in your heart, because that's not a child of God. And God says, "I'll handle that. You stand back. I got this." But he also says, I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering. Because you know why? Because we are subject to other people. We have to live in this world with people that don't love the Lord. And because we have those people that have opportunities to afflict us and attack us and allow Satan to use them in, you know, causing us suffering, God says, don't worry about it. I see all things. And like my sister said, he says, touch not my anointed. So when God has that mindset and he's relaying that to us as a father to his children, he wants us to know, don't fret. Don't worry. I got this. And because he loves us so much, he's going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to do all those things. So that's where he comes in and he says, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with them. So when we speak on the covenant, we got to ask ourselves, well, what did he mean by covenant? Because some people don't understand what a covenant is. See, a covenant is like the unconditional promises made to humanity by God. And as he reveals it in the scriptures, we're able to see the agreement between God and the Israelites. So when we see that in scripture, we know that it was a covenant, which was agreement that was so important that he made it where it would show, if you do this, I will do that. And that was, if you be my people, if you be loyal, I will be your God. Amen. And what he did this is to give Abraham an understanding of what he had destined for mankind. Because, see, he had a plan of redemption. He had a plan for us. And he wanted us to know that plan because at the end of the day, he has made a way out of no way for all of us. And it's up to us to accept that covenant. And when he gave it to Abraham, he said, your seed will be blessed. He put that covenant in effect, and a covenant is not just a promise, but it is an agreement for him to do something. As long as we be his people and we abide in him and we do our part, this is an everlasting agreement. This is something that's eternal, that is like long term. This isn't a temporary fix. This is something that God has put out in the universe for us to understand that he has our backs forever and always. And that is so powerful, and it just gives you the joy that you can stand on, that you can grab for when you are going through something. Because, see, we're to look to the glory of God and his promises when we are going through things to pull that joy out of us, to activate that joy. You remember we talked about joy. Joy was a gift of the Spirit, one of those fruits of the Spirit that would allow us to get around long-suffering, to be able to lift our head up and smile and know that tomorrow is a new day. So with that being said, we have to actually, you know, recognize our covenant and remember the promise and let no one tell you otherwise, that you are God's people, that you're his children, and because you're his children, you have a birthright. You have rights. You have a knowing that your father loves you, he protects you, he provides for you, and no one in this world or the next world can lay a finger on your soul or your head. And I love the way he's made it known because he wrote it in so many ways through the prophets. It wasn't a mystery. It's not a secret. The covenant is something that's going to be binding, and it'll reach into our hearts and know, and it'll let us know that we're important, that our relationship means something to him, that we weren't just a creation that he threw out there on the planet Earth. He created us for a purpose, and he has an obligation to us because he believes in us, and he wants us to be his and belong to him. And it's just knowing that there is so much to do in this world without having to worry about what our destiny is. You don't have to worry about that. God laid it out. He told us the plan. He reveals it to us in the Word throughout the whole Old and New Testament. And see, he gave us promises, but see, promises are all, you know, written agreements that he will do something or not do something. But see, that covenant, that's your contract right there. That's your adoption paper right there. That's your paper of knowing. That's your God's word. He gave it to us to bind him, because you can hold God to his word, and you can say, God, you said in your covenant, you know, this and that. You said that you would be here for us. You said that you would protect us. You said that you would, you know, take care of us. You would provide for us. But then on the flip side of that, we are called to a standard of being his people, of acting like his children. And when we act like his children, we're going to show godly ways. We're going to live holy. We're going to live righteous. And when we act like his children, he's going to treat us like his children. And that is a condition. Now, don't get it twisted. It's not just given to you. You have to actually walk a certain walk to be a child of the Most High God. You can't just act and live any kind of way. And he's stating that, and he made it known to Abraham, and now that we have it, it's passed down to so many more generations through David, through Moses. All we have to do is accept the covenant and know that the new covenant that was made was the relationship between God and humans, but it was mediated by Jesus. Now, this was necessary for all people, both Jews and Gentiles, because you got to remember, initially, the Jews were God's chosen people. But guess what? He sent his son, his only begotten son, to mediate and to include anyone that would accept him and believe on him in Jesus Christ as Lord and God. So once Jesus stepped into the scenario, that new covenant included the Gentiles. Because remember, Paul was not a Jew. He was a Gentile, but he was included in as well. He became one of the greatest disciples as well as the other 12. So with that being said, everyone has an opportunity. All we have to do is open our minds and hearts to what that new covenant has been offering us ever since Christ came and made that sacrifice for us. So I'm moving down to my second verse, which is 9, and it says, their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations, and everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Now, you know that says it all right there. When you can go outside and somebody say, I know who you is. Ain't you so-and-so's son? Ain't you so-and-so's daughter? That's exactly what's going to be happening as we as children of God go into the world and they recognize us. We don't have to wear a sign. We don't have to wear a shirt or a uniform that says that we're a child of God. It's going to be seen. It's going to be recognized because, see, we're going to exude the likeness of our Father. The nations will recognize us wherever we go. We ain't got to tell people that we God's children. We ain't got to say that we're Christians. We ain't got to tell nobody nothing because it's going to be evident. And even our children, our new generations, our seed, everyone that we birth beyond our generation, they're going to be recognized as the descendants of the Most High God, that we are God's people and that our children are God's people, and the nations will say they are blessed. They are the Lord's people. They are the Most High God's people. They are children of God, and look at them. You can just tell. You can feel it in your spirit. You can see it in their walk. You can see it in their talk. They ain't got to go around and saying, oh, I'm saved. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a child of God. You ain't got to tell nobody because guess what? The way you live, the way you talk, the way you represent Christ, because the Christ in you is going to show up, and it's going to show the world that you are not less than your Father. You are everything your Father meant you to be. You are everything because, see, he sent us his only begotten son to give us the opportunity to be completely fulfilled in his destiny and in his purpose for us to be completely and totally holy and righteous. Now, if you don't believe that you can be completely, totally, and holy and righteous, I'll come back with some more scriptures to back that up. But I just want you to know that that's what he said, and that's what he gave us Christ for, to show us what it looks like and that we can achieve it. Because, see, whatever he does for one, he can do for all. So with that being said, I just want you to know that you have all of these promises. You have all of this understanding laid out in Isaiah 61. The verses speak for itself. And sister, I know that you have something else because this chapter, the chapter is so powerful. It lifts up your spirit. It is for the oppressed. It lets you know that there is something that's going to be done about whatever we're facing. So with that being said, I turn it over to my sister, and I hope you have a blessed weekend as well.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad. I'm so happy that you brought in the covenant, and not only did you bring in the covenant and speaking about what, you know, what God promised Abraham, but to know that Jesus Christ, that we did, they had personal relationships that had to go through the priest, and that God did speak to some people one-on-one, but through Jesus Christ interceding, being the person that stood in the gap for you, me, and everybody else, now we have the ability to talk to God ourselves based on our connections, based on the fact that we know the knowing of who he is. And one scripture that really, really stuck out to me was verse 7, because this is where we're at right now, saints. This is where our teachings are. We're studying in the word about economics, kingdom economics. And verse seven just lays it out in reference to the kingdom economics. But as we are being taught by night about kingdom economics, it's first getting yourself straight, making sure that you're straight, making sure that your household is straight, making sure that you're not going outside of your home, and to try to go out and do things out in your community. You're there, right there in your home, getting you straight, making sure that your obligations are straight. So here, you need to make sure that your obligations are straight with God. You need to make sure and understand that you are in right standing with God, that you are being obedient, that you're applying the things that you're being taught, that you are moving, you are a movement is going on, that you're connected to that movement as things are going around, the chimes are moving, they're going in a circle, you're moving with God, with the things that he has for you. In order for you to reap the benefits, you have to be connected to God. God has to be your focus point. The Holy Spirit has to be your power source. Once you become disconnected, then you come out of the will of God. The beauty of it is that when you fall, he's there to pick us up. He's there to not let us drown. He's there to not let us burn in the singes, but and burn with you know, the scent. If you burn it or if you in the fire, no one is not going to know that you was in that fire, because God is going to see it and he's going to cover it up, because he is our covering. He is the person that's not going to leave us nor forsake us. And that's in 7. It says, instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. So yesterday we spoke about Jabez when he asked God to enlarge his territory. And see, through the sufferings that you go through, as long as you are standing, as long as you are doing what you're supposed to do, you're not giving up. You're continuing to keep going through. You are not sitting in the same mindset. You are no longer in a reprobated mindset. You are coming and you've made a conscious decision that God is your head. Everything that you have went through, everything that you have gone through, God is not forgetting it. The word of God, I like the way that Zechariah, the parallel scripture, I like the way Zechariah 9 verse 12 says, it clearly says, it tells you, come back to the place of safety, and all you prisoners who still have hope, that have not given up, that still believe that God will do what he says that he would do, that still believe that when Jesus died on the cross, everything about him, everything about us, descended down with him. But when he rose, when Jesus rose, he rose for us to have a clean slate. Although we are slaves, although we have to go through persecution, although all of these things take place, the word of God says that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. The word is saying, though they slay me, though they talk about me, though they lie on me, though they sit and they spit in my face, though they stab me in my back, though I'm sitting here and I got pain all through my body, though I'm sitting here and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, so I have worryation, though I sit here and worry about where the roof is over my head, even though the word of God tells us not to worry about those things, it says that we will receive a double portion. And these are the things that Apostle Temple is teaching us. These are the things. This is the message that the Holy Spirit is pouring through the land right now. Though COVID-19 has me not working, though COVID-19 has me where I can't, this pandemic have me where I can't do the things that I used to do, though COVID-19 have me where I'm fearful that this disease may sit and attack me, God is sitting and saying, although you're sitting there and you're doing these worriations when you don't have to worry about it, I have you. I have you. Though that there's injustice, people are getting killed all around you, and these different things, just know that God, that we, for all our pain, for all our suffering, for all the affliction that's going on, God will give us a double portion. And this is why it is so important for you to get into the word of God and for you to tune in with us to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling you, to go down the line of his road, the road that God is preparing for us through these teachings. It is so important for us to be connected with what God wants us to hear, what he wants us to do. There are instructions in everything. This is why the Bible is a book of instructions. Everything that we sit and we go through on a daily basis, you can go in there and you can find a scripture. You can find a scripture to help you. Why? Because God loved us so much that he poured into his Holy Spirit poured into people. He allowed people to see certain things, to document it. It's no reason why any of us should not tap into the blessings that God has for us. And if you choose to stay where you're at, stop complaining about it, because God has a master plan. Up to you to grab hold to that master plan. And what is that master plan? That relationship. That how are you going to grab hold? You're going to study. You're going to put yourself in a place where you can receive, where you can hear and receive, and you're going to pay attention to the times. If you sit and you're focused and you are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you, then you should realize that God is bringing you out of a season of oppression. See, we get so used to doing things one way, and we stay in that place. We park in that place, whereas God has something much greater for us. He has given us the ability to live on earth as it is in heaven. It's up to you to do and to engage into the things that he has for you now. So when you go into your newness, when you go into the kingdom, then you already know. It's nothing new to you. You already know when the time of famine comes, you prepare. You already know when God brings his wrath, it's not going to bother you. You like those live oak trees that's by the river. You're unbothered. And that's what happens when you obtain a, and I said the word obtain. That means that you have to go, you have to grab, it's something, you got to go get it. It's not something that's just, you know, just laying there. I use that word obtain because obtain to me means neither you got to go and you got to do some things to go and get it. It's not just sitting right there for me. And how am I going there to get it? I'm taking my thinking off. I'm not. I can sit and tell you today, I don't sit down I don't. I have a lot of different things going on with me, but you know what? I know the promises of God. I know that God has me covered. Although the Israelites broke that covenant with God and Jesus came in and had that mercy and grace that endures forever and ever, that's what takes me through. That's what can take you through. So you can reap the benefits, the promises that God has given you. So I can sit here and go on and on and on. But what I sit and tell you is that you all need to start coming out and fellowship and getting the bread. Me and my sister call it the manna. We call it because God fed the Israelites day by day with manna. They couldn't sit and store anything up. They had to receive the manna on a daily basis. Well, God is pouring it in on a daily basis. God is pouring it in to Apostle Temple day after day, night after night, and he is feeding us that manna. And even on days that you cannot receive it, it's notes being taken where you can go back. So I sit and I urge each and every person to understand the movement, to understand the timing where God is right now. He's doing stuff with injustice right now. Laws are being made because a change has came. People are tired of being oppressed. People are tired of the injustice that's going on in the land. It's not the people that's making the change. I want that to be understood. But it is God that's making the change. Why? Because he's hearing our prayers. He's seeing our actions. He sees that we're fervently praying to him for him to come in and intervene. The word of God said, what happened before shall happen again. We are in an again movement. However, things will not be the same. Things will not be the same. When you get out of this situation, things should be better for you. Even though you're stuck in a place right now, you're stuck in that place because God is going before us, changing things. He's going and making the crooked path straight. He's going and he's touching the hearts of people. He's doing something that you and I can't do. But one thing that we can do to team up with God is to continue to pray, to continue to intercede for those that can't, that do not understand. Because it's people on this phone right now that knows what intercession is. It's people right now that God is tugging on their hearts and telling them to pray for, giving them names of people that they do not know. We can sit and we can make a change, and that change is coupling up with God, that army that we talk about, and we stand in unity, and we fast, we pray, we study the word of God. We have on our complete armor, and we're ready for battle. So I charge each and every one of you again, and I'm going to do it every single day because it's an urgency. Understand the urgency that God has going on right now. God is coming to set the captives free. He is coming to set the captives free. He will deal with people. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God will deal with those that choose to just to ignore him, not getting his will after he's trying over and over. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. It's stated. Every knee, you're going to do it one way or the other. It didn't say every knee. You want to be in a place when God's wrath comes that you are in right standing, in the right position with God, whether you are here now in the natural or whether you then went on to glory. You, the people that here, you do not want to deal with the fiery fierce of what God has. And we already know what God will do. We already know. We know about the when he covered the earth. We know that he came with rain. So you can just imagine. And God has given us the opportunity right now, on today, during this time frame, to get it right with him, to surrender all, to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, and to stay. Not to get in the will, but to stay in that will, to stay in that center mass, that God center mass in his heart, to stay there and allow him to fight our battles so we can reap the promises of God. So one way that we can do that is that you all can join us on the prayer line. Tonight we will not be on the prayer line, but you can come out and support our youth. And that number is 385-799-9620. If we have some first-timers on the phone, we usually have, unless something comes up, we usually break the bread of life Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m., on our on a different line. And that line number is 385-799-9620. Come with your sword. Come with a level of expectancy, knowing that God is delivering a message, not man. Know that the Holy Spirit is delivering a message, and he's trying to touch you, me, and all those that are in a position to receive, all of those that are in a position to make a transformation, all of those that are in a position to apply what God has for you in this time of need, because it is a time of need. Others may think differently. In my life, the word of God is a need for me, and if it's a need for me, and it can straighten me up and put me on the path of righteousness so I can enjoy what he has for me, then that means that it's a need for someone else. We need God. Do not let anybody tell you any differently. So as we close on today, we close with inviting you, extending an invitation for you all to come out and break the bread and drink of the living waters with us Monday through Thursday. And just know that ADM loves you, and we want the best for you, and we do not want you to be left behind. So come in, join with us, and we thank you for coming out, sacrificing your time to be with us Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock a.m. Yes, it is a sacrifice. And guess what? It's not that we're grateful. God is grateful because you are tapping into him, and he's very grateful and he's very thankful. And what we need to do as a people, we need to praise God and thank him for the opportunity. So we'll see you tonight for those that can come in and help out with our, just to listen and be of support for our future priests, our future kings and queens. And if not, we'll see you back Monday morning at 7 a.m., and then we'll meet you again at 8 p.m. Monday night. You all have a blessed day. Enjoy your weekend, and know that God is able, and he will do things exceedingly. And just remember, for your troubles, he will pour you out two blessings for your troubles, and you do not want to miss the blessings that God has for you. Have a great weekend. God bless.